I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey, this is Crystal Waters, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh. I've never said that to anyone.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. Today, we have an exciting show. I sit down with the queen of house music, Crystal Waters. My dance music fans will definitely know her. Even my hip-hop heads, if you were clubbing anytime in the 90s, you know 100% Pure Love. And you definitely know the smash Gypsy Woman that, those records have been on dance floors for more than 30 years now. We dig into Crystal's extraordinary journey as a pioneer, as a woman in dance music, some of the tribulations she's been through and how she's passing it along to new artists coming up today. Crystal's got many exciting new ventures, a skincare line, a label, a podcast. Make sure you check out the I Am House Radio podcast after you listen to this, of course. But let's get into it right now with Crystal Waters. It's great to meet you. I appreciate you making time for this, and I'm excited to talk to you. I've obviously been following your work for many, many years, and so excited to finally meet you.
Thanks. This is great.
Absolutely. Well, I want to get into what you're up to now, but I always kind of like to start at the beginning, and I know that you have a really fascinating story that followed the trajectory of dance music. So if you don't mind, let's go back to the very beginning. Do you remember the first record you ever bought for yourself?
That I bought for myself, I'm pretty sure it was Stevie Wonder's album. I think it was called First Finale.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the Rocks in the Long.
Yeah.
I remember because I had to catch a bus to the closest record store from where I live. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, those were the days, right, when you had to get to the store, you had to hope they had it in stock and know what you were looking for, or you start to meet the DJs that can help point you in the right direction.
Yeah. Then you had to get back home before you even listen to it.
Exactly.
The whole album.
Yeah, for sure. And then that was your afternoon or your weekend, right, and you just spend time with that record. Those are special times. And so I know you came from, you had a musical background in your family and with jazz in particular, but were you into jazz? Was that your music or did your own sort of music taste start to take shape?
I wasn't per se into that. I was more of the Jackson 5 and, you know, all the R&B stuff.
Sure.
Only reason I would say I was into jazz was because I would go on tour with my father in the summer. And all the albums he had were all jazz. Mm-hmm. So while he was at work, he played at live lounges and things. I would go through his albums, and my favorite was all the female singers. Mm-hmm. So that's, I wouldn't say it was my music growing up, but that's why I'm really connected to it and probably know a little bit more about it than I even knew that I thought I knew.
Sure. And how did you get on the mic the first time?
Oh, that's a journey. I was very shy. I was the last person in my family that anybody thought would be on the mic. Everybody else was in bands and things like that, but I didn't start. Okay. I was working and realized I wasn't going to make enough money.
What kind of job?
I studied computer science at Howard University. Okay. And then I got a job at the DC parole board in the computer room.
Wow.
I had the only computer, and I don't know if in DC, at least at the DC parole board. And I issued warrants and did calculations for good time to get out of jail and all those kind of calculations.
Sure.
So when you're at the government, they hand you this paper that says how much you're going to make each year, G1, G2, F, whatever. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'll be 10 years before. So long story short, a coworker of mine had a cousin who had a studio, was looking for background singers. And he was like, I'll go if you go. I was like, sure. I had never sang in front of anybody.
Wow.
But we went down there and I got the job. And, I made $600 in 1 week. That was a lot of money.
Sure.
And the light bulb went off, was like, this is it. I really wanted to. One thing I knew I could do was write, even uh-huh. if it was into singing. So that's when I just knew it. And I just, I searched out someone to start co-writing songs with. But that's really my first time in the studio.
That's amazing. So it's funny you mentioned that you were shy. I've read some interviews. You describe yourself as kind of shy and odd, I think you said, when you were young. So, how'd you get past that, or how do you go from that person to, we've seen in the music videos and on stage, and you do your thing, and tell me about that journey.
Well, it was a conscious decision. I hated being so shy. I hated not always being afraid and not being outgoing. And, people misread you when you're shy. They think, sure. You don't like it. She has an attitude. And I did not like that. And I remember I picked up a book. I can't remember which one. But it taught me things like smiling in public and, making a small conversation with, say, someone at the grocery store. And I actually started practicing. And then it was a accumulation. And then when I got to the record label, they actually used to have etiquette classes. And
oh, wow.
Ball comment, one of the people, his name was Josh, actually. He told me small talk, like, compliment the man's tie, just little things like that.
Sure.
And then also at the same time, I was integrated into the club scene with drag queens, dancers, these big personalities who really accepted me where I was. And I just kind of looked at them and said, if they don't care what anybody thinks, why am I caring? I also remember seeing Prince's album when he was on the cover half naked with his bikini. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I said, if he doesn't care what anybody thinks, why am I so worried about what other people think? So it was accumulation of things like that. And I think over time, it took practice, though. It was a conscious effort to do that.
Sure. I love that. I love that you recognize that and you worked at it. I think a lot of people, they just feel like that's their fate. They are who they are and they can't change. And that's just not true, is it?
It's not true.
You can develop. Those are skills, right?
Even if
it might come naturally more to one person than another, you can develop that.
Yeah. And I teach the people who travel with me that because, people are very excited to see you. You have to engage. You have to have conversation.
Sure.
And some people learn art. I mean, you can be really tired, but you still have to, be nice.
Right.
But that self-help books, I'm a big fan. I still read a lot of spiritual books. I'm always on the quest for being better.
Yeah, me too. I love that's awesome. That's funny. When I was in college, I was the rap critic at my school newspaper, and I used to walk around with a hoodie and sunglasses. And somebody came up to me one time. They're like, "You always look like you're mad." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I didn't realize I was putting that out. I was just doing my thing, being me." And I think sometimes you need somebody to tell you how you're coming across to everybody else.
Yeah.
Yo, we are back with DraftKings. Last time I was talking to you about college football. Now, NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is celebrating with an unbeatable offer. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets just for throwing down $5 on the NBA. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. You'll start the season with an instant dub. And with DraftKings parlays, everyone's got a shot at an even bigger basketball win. String together multiple bets from the same game or build your parlay across multiple games for a shot at making your payday even sweeter. Basketball is more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code REBELRADIO. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly for betting just $5, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with my code REBELRADIO. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, licensee partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Well, let's talk about Gypsy Women. Obviously, was a massive hit still to this day. And so that was the first song that you had ever put out. Is that right?
It was the first song I wrote, actually.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was the first. I had met the Basin Boys, met them at this conference, and I was doing more of an R&B Sade thing. And the first couple tracks they sent me was Gypsy Woman, I think it was Make It Happy, and maybe one other one. I can't think of the name.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want to hear the story, but
yeah, definitely.
I was, you know, they asked me to write over these beats. So I got Gypsy One, had this big fat bass line. And all I had was la da dee, la da da, la da dee. And I used to do the melody first. And I couldn't fit any words into those little short syllables. Then I said, well, there's someone singing this song. And it was a lady who stood downtown in Washington, D.C. in front of the Mayflower Hotel, who was dressed fully dressed in black, full face of makeup. She looked nice. She looked normal. And I had this attitude. She needs to go get a job. She's just, you know, being greedy, asking other people for money, being lazy or whatever. And the local paper did a story on her saying how she just lost her job, how she was just doing so well. She had a job in retail at the makeup counter. And she lost it all through the story. And she felt at the end, if she was going to ask you for money, she should look respectable and act respectable. And that just changed my whole thought about homelessness and how Sure. Every day could happen to anybody. And, you know, back then I was really into Amnesty International. I was, you know, standing up for rights for, you know, things like that. And so that's what the song's about. It's actually about her. She wakes up early every morning because she cares, Yeah. You know. That's
where it came from. That's amazing. And so the song comes out. Did it hit right away?
It came out. I was signed to, was it A&M in the UK for 2 years?
Okay.
For 2 years before it came out, but I was very happy. I think my coworkers thought I was lying. I was signed to a record label.
Take me back to the moment when you realized that song was a hit.
I was sitting at home and I get a call from Bruce Carbone, who I had never met. And he says, you have a hit record. And I was like, okay. So I didn't know, you know, what he, you know, I didn't know what he meant. I didn't even know the song was released.
Right.
Well, apparently it had been out.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, back then it broke on, you know, mix shows and I think it, Sure. You know, DJs
in
New York.
Clubs, of course.
Yeah. And I wasn't, you know, I was at home. And I didn't leave my job for like a year and a half because I thought it was going to be big in New York, maybe Baltimore, D.C.
Sure.
And then it was, you know, I went over to, I did the Top of the Pops in the U.K. thought that was really cool. Yeah,
of course.
Then, you know, I think, you know, it took me that time, like a year, to realize, you know, no, this is going to go on for some time now. So
yeah,
it eased in on me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so obviously this is right at the beginning. Like I said, it's the first song you ever wrote. Were you ready for that type of success? What, you know, how did life change after? Like,
no, I wasn't ready at all. It changed completely. It wasn't an influx of money or anything, but it was, sure. It was a lot of new people around, a lot of new atmospheres, it was a lot of responsibility. Like I said, I was kind of shy and I was just quiet and I got all these interviews and I had to be social.
Yeah, of course.
And that way it changed a lot, but I got to see a lot of the world and meet a lot of new things, which I really enjoyed. Like I said, I traveled with my father younger. So traveling was great. I loved that. And funny thing is, I had no fear when I stepped on stage. It was just, I even thought it was strange. I thought I would be nervous.
Yeah.
But I went on stage and it was like, you know, it was like home.
That's amazing.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
And so was there somebody you turned to for guidance, for advice, kind of how to navigate all of this?
Not really.
Okay.
I think my family, I remember my Uncle Zach, he was like, do not sell your publishing. Keep your publishing, that kind of business thought. You know, get a good attorney. Luckily for me, my roommate at Howard University was an attorney.
Oh, nice.
So the first person I called was her. She was doing actually contract law at the time, but
okay,
she was an attorney. And now she does entertainment. So we kind of helped each other in that. Yeah. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
I really think the people at Mercury Records helped me a lot. Like I said, the etiquette, how to talk to people and stuff, you know, people I met along the way.
Yeah. So at what point did the vision come together? Like you say, you're not really ready and all this success, you know, mm-hmm. comes your way, which obviously it's amazing. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. But you know, how do you, in that time, how do you create the vision for what your career and your approach to music? And, you know, I mean, back then, obviously for a lot of people listening, dance music wasn't even a fully formed genre yet.
Called house music yet.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was there, you know, as a fan in the clubs listening, and we didn't know, you know, the DJ was playing a funk record and a hip hop record and a soul record. And then all of a sudden, you know, Gypsy Woman's on or something. And you're just dancing, right? You're just having a good time and you're not really paying attention to all that. So I say that to say a lot of what we think of today, these structures didn't exist, right? So I'm curious, how did you form a vision for your, what you wanted to create in your music and your career kind of at that time?
I think it kind of came together, you know, after the first album. I didn't want to be a one hit wonder, everyone's saying, but it came, at the time house music was being beat up or dance music, like it was a fad. It wasn't going to do anything.
Of course.
I liked being different. I was this big fish in a small pond or whatever. Because I know a lot of other artists would say, oh no, I'm not a dance artist. Blah, blah, blah. But I remember on the second album that I was going to make this, you know, because the first album was kind of rushed, put together. I wasn't even really, there were a bunch of demos that they threw together. And I wanted to be involved and make it more of Crystal Waters. And luckily, you know, they let me do that. So the vision was, you know, I wanted the top quality, everything. I mean, I made sure I brought in vocal coach, vocal producer, a real engineer. And I just really wanted to write really good songs. So I think from that moment, because it was so much pressure, it was either sink or swim, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was determined to swim. I just remember being really determined.
Yeah. And was that second album, was that 100% Real Love?
100% Pure Love.
Pure Love, sorry, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you did it. You set out to do it again. You did it again. That record also stands the test of time. And And, you know, I think it's amazing. You say, you know, that second album can be a killer for a lot of people.
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, some people say, you know, you have your whole album, whole life to write your first album. And then you have, you know, 6 weeks or whatever to write your second.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thinking back to that time, you know, as you said, it was a really small community. I was talking to Moby about this the other day that, you know, at the beginning of his career, you walk out in New York City and you see all the people, you know, everyone that's making dance music, you can see them all in a day, right?
at dinner.
Right, exactly. And it's so different now, right? It's coming from every corner of the world. It's coming from the major labels, the indies. You know, I think all of music and all of entertainment, frankly, has just shifted from it being these small, you know, tight-knit groups of people to just, you know, it happens from everywhere. And so I wonder, how does that change things for you? How does it change your creativity, your process when it's not just about, you know, your crew and this sort of tight-knit community that's bringing it to the world?
Well, I think when I realized things were changing, you know, first of all, hip hop came in and kind of wiped us all out for a minute.
Sure.
And I realized things were moving overseas.
Yeah.
This is my mind. So I remember me and Dwayne Harden, we decided that we were going to start, you know, going to the conferences and anything that was, you know, relevant to, you know, the kind of songwriting we wanted to do, because there were all these new producers, you know, doing stuff. You know, when we first started, the European producers, they weren't really good at it, but they got really good at it.
Yeah.
So we started hanging out over there, you know, hanging out, you know, clubs, going out with people and stuff. And that really changed. And I still do that till today. I'm still out there wanting to hear what's new and what's, you know, what everybody's listening to. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't want to be like them, but I would like to put my spin on it.
Yeah.
So that really, you know, I think that's where I started changing, because when I realized things were changing, because I remember I went to kind of the Euro dance for a minute, like the Labouches and things like that. And they were out, like, no, I don't want to do that. My manager at the time, don't you want to do one? I'm like, just, you know, I felt like I was more of a soulful artist.
Yeah.
But, you know, things came back around a little bit more after that phase. And that's when I said, let me get back into this.
Talk about today. How obviously I know you have the radio show. I want to talk about that a little bit too, but you know, how much are you relating to dance music that's coming out today? And how do you, you know, how do you find stuff? How are you like exploring and you know, is it, are you, do you just stay in your lane, or are you listening to different styles? And, you know, tell me about your experience as a listener, as a fan.
Well, as a listener, that's why I like having I get all the music. So many genres now. So,
yeah, of course.
You can pick so many. But it's nice. I mean, there's so much out there. I mean, you have the pop, the David Guetta's, and then you have the EDM. I say the difference between EDM and house music is EDM doesn't really have like a real bass line. They move the bottom around a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm more of a bass line person. So, I mean, I've tried to write to EDM. It's not my best. But I know there's I'm trying to remember your question now, but I do.
I'm just asking, you know, how you explore, how you kind of navigate this music today.
Yeah, I listen for stuff I like. I listen, I do the podcast. I could do 3 or 4 different podcasts from the music I get, because there's so many distinct genres now. But I now listen for me, like what I'm working on now, I'm actually going back to the guys I started with, basically DJ Spin. They're all like offshoots from the Basin Boys, because I really miss that bass line and that soulfulness. So, I mean, I've expanded out. I've done a little tad of EDM. I've done a little of this and a little of that. But now I'm focused on doing some, you know, straight up some house music. More, you know, a little more progressive. You know, not old school, progressive, but that's, you know, if I hear something like from all the music that I get, I will contact a producer, or I see people who are, you know, who still keep house music moving forward and who are doing really good at. And I'll keep an eye on them and maybe, you know, reach out to them. And luckily for me, a lot of them reach out to me. So
sure. Of course.
So that's really how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I think is so amazing. It's just, you know, how fast dance music evolves. Right. And you have, you know, you have new genres popping up all the time. You have new sounds, and yet, you know, the people that have been there from the beginning are still doing it. And, you know, the Todd Terry's and the Timmy Regisford's and, you know, are still making music, and there's a lane for that, right? There's a lane for those of us who are, you know, grown and past our clubbing days to still be, you know, still be enjoying it. And there's room for the 15 and 17 year olds, you know, out at the festivals, whatever.
Let me tell you, I do these festivals and I'm like, Gypsy Woman is older than you.
For sure.
You know, how do you know? But it's nice. One thing I like about dance music, because it's for everybody, all ages. There's so much love and upliftment in it. I think that's why our community is so special.
Yeah.
I may brag.
I know. I agree. I'm with you. So think about Gypsy Woman, and obviously I think I read you've had 12 number one dance chart hits. So obviously your career is much more than Gypsy Woman, but you know, we've seen re-releases and remixes, and that song continues to have life, and you know, you can hear it on the dance floor tonight, I'm sure. Somewhere in America, they're playing it on a Friday night.
So how many texts I get 2-3 in the morning?
Oh, I bet.
They're playing your song.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I think, you know, I don't know if it's unique to dance music, but I definitely, you know, the artists that I work with, you know, I'm like, if a song connects, you got to reuse it. You got to get as much life as you can out of it. And I think, you know, I think, you know, it's smart to be re-releasing and remixing and refreshing and bringing new fans and new listeners into it. Is that something like, has that been kind of part of the plan, or is that just, you know, does those opportunities just pop up?
Well, it wasn't part of the plan. They just pop up. I say Gypsy Woman, she has a life of her own, and I just check in on her.
Sure.
It happens, you know, we went through the whole thing with, you know, bootlegging and everything. So it's a little tricky there. Sometimes, you know, we'll let a bootleg go if it's a massive response and it keeps her alive.
Sure.
But it's really nice, some of the uses that it's been getting. We spend, you know, days clearing stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Really nice. The only thing, that the downfall is, you know, some people want to take too much of it. They want to say, you know, they'll do a remix and say it's Joe Blow featuring Crystal Waters or something, you know.
Right.
wait a minute.
Sure.
So it's a little tricksy, but it's really nice. I never imagined it was 30 years, maybe 31 this year.
Unbelievable.
It has a strong life. It has a really strong.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And like I say, you know, I'm sure that in some ways it's a mixed blessing. You know, I'm sure as an artist and a creator, you want to, you know, you have other ideas or you want to connect on other things. But at the same time, you know, you made something that touches people and is meaningful, and it's meaningful in 2023, you know, the same way it was in 1991.
Well, very thankful. Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. We're back with DraftKings. Basketball fans, we got you covered for the NBA season. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and is celebrating with an unbeatable offer. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets just for putting down $5 on the NBA. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. You come out ahead. And with DraftKings parlays, everyone's got a shot at even bigger basketball wins. You can string together multiple bets from the same game or multiple games for a shot at making your payday even sweeter. Basketball is more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use my code REBELRADIO. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly for betting just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code REBELRADIO. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, licensee partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. You know, talk a little bit about being a woman in dance music. I think there's a lot has been said about women in music overall and the opportunities that are available versus, you know, it's obviously a lot of it, the industry has been very male dominated. I'm interested to know what changes you've seen and what changes still need work.
Yeah. And dancers, I think when I started, it was a lot of females involved. You know, I think now you bring it up to today, it's very hard to find a female name on a release. It's mostly DJ orientated. And if it is a female on it, the name maybe not mentioned or I don't know what goes on, why some of the females, I think that's a big problem. I think a lot of people who are singing these records are writing them as well.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be some education about, you know, the fact that you put your name on something is a check. The fact that you do this or that is another check. There's several, just because your voice is on it. And I think a lot of people are missing that education. Mm. And maybe the producers don't even know it, but some of them do.
Of course.
I think that is a problem. I also see the problem as, you know, more male DJs and female. It's got to be more than three female DJs out there.
For sure.
I can only think of maybe three.
Yeah.
So I think there's still the inequities now in that area. I think back, you know, they was money wise, you know, it's still probably money wise too. The males get paid more than the females.
Mm-hmm.
So things kind of stayed the same. But they've changed into other, you know, areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my wish is to see more female DJs and producers, which I think is across the board in all music genres. Because I know they're out there. Why they're not being seen, I can't put my finger on it. But has it gotten better? I'm not sure it's gotten better because I know I still have to fight for every tooth and nail. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
If you have the right education, you're not going to get it. So I don't know everyone's story, but I'm hoping that all the female artists out there listening, make sure you know your rights and get a good attorney, you know?
Yeah. 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 No, look, I think it's hard for the music business is tough. It's hard for everybody. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, maybe doubly hard in some cases for women. I think, you know, you bring up a good point that, you know, it's a producer-driven genre and culture, and the producer's name is always the first name on the record. And maybe it's because I'm old, but now, you know, when I go to a show, I mean, I love DJs, and I've grown up, you know, in the clubs and listening to DJs, but when there's a singer on stage, it adds a whole nother dimension. And you know, some of my favorite dance music performances I've seen are when there's a vocalist out there, you know, and it's not just the lights and the record playing. And I think that they, you know, people miss that. Artists, producers miss out on that it, you know, they could be doing something even better and really you know, touching people in another way.
Yeah, there's something special about a live performance. You know, I always wondered about people pointing at the DJ, just staring at the DJ.
For sure.
It's It's amazing how that happens, but
yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
I'll absolutely, leave it absolutely. So speaking of that, I saw you had a collaboration with Robin S, another massive singer in our culture. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. What was that like? I mean, you know, again, you might assume that there was some competitiveness, and maybe there was at some point, but tell me about that. I was really excited to see that you guys have made a record.
It's been nice. You know, we've known each other for a long time.
Sure.
And in the beginning, of course, people would pit us all against each other. But now we travel, we do a lot of shows together. And we always said we were going to do something together. You know, Robin has this great big voice. So, you know, I never knew how we were going to able to, you know, match that up.
Uh-huh.
But I did the song Love One Another with Soul Central and the first release. And she heard it and she loved it. And she called me and said, Crystal, I have to be on this record. I like this. If you know Robin, she's like I'm going to be on this record.
That's so cool.
So I was like, well, we're getting ready to do the remixes. You want to do that? She said, yeah. So I talked to Spin. We flew her up and she got in the studio and she just blew everybody away in the studio. I was like, you know what? Just leave her on the lead. Mm-hmm. Let me sit in the background.
Sure.
So really that it just happened just like that. And she did an amazing job. Yeah. We were in the studio, she did that, and then she was like, I'm into it, I want to do something else. And I was like, Spin, you got something? He looked on his phone, and she wrote a song that night in the studio. We got in like at 8, and we were finished at 11, and she wrote a whole thing with like triple, quadruple background vocals, a whole other track. It was amazing. Spin got up and went there and hugged her, and was like, it was like the heavens that opened or something, so...
That's amazing.
Great experience.
Nice. And then I saw you have a skincare line.
Boy Face.
Yeah, tell me about a men's skincare line, right?
Yeah, I started out.
Tell me about that. How'd that come together and what are you up to with it?
I always wanted a skincare line. I always, you know, got into taking care of my skin, you know, getting older and getting beat with the makeup artist. I really had to taking care of my skin. And I found some things that work, and I found out that it didn't cost you all these hundreds of dollars to make your skin glow. So I started getting products and stuff to testing them. And I ended up testing them with my dancers, and it was mostly male people around me. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the end of it, you know, I'm in this meeting, my attorney and my consultant, and they were like, well, why don't we do it for men? Why don't you, you know, to your fan base? And I was like, okay, yeah, I can just, you know, pick out a couple products and just do it. So that's how Boy Face came out. And I really, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was nice, another creative outlet. It really felt good. So I enjoyed it. I'm just relaunching. COVID shut me down, but I'm relaunching.
Of course.
Trying to get that's back.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I think it sounds like, you know, I know a lot of people just kind of slap your name on something and, you know, hope that carries. This sounds like you had, you know, you really created this and had the vision for it.
Yeah, I tested everything. I got the reason why I had to shut down because I had really special ingredients that I could not get anymore.
Oh, wow.
I really put my all into that.
Nice. And so are there other ventures, other ideas that you, other creative outlets you're working on?
I have the label and the radio. My vision was, all right, I'm going to have my own label, release it. I need somewhere to play it. I'm going to play it on my own radio station.
Nice.
And then I'm also developing I Am House TV, which now will feature documentaries, videos of dance and house artists and dancers, like dancers dancing. And there's a lot of house dance competitions around the world.
Sure. Yeah.
So there'll be videos of that. Hopefully I'll launch that by this summer.
Nice.
I Am House TV.
And what's the plan or the vision for the label?
Label's been up for 3 years. I've been releasing other people's artists. I've been learning, you know, testing out different promotions, promoters, and things. So now I'm at the point where I'm going to release my stuff. I'm going to go to the conference next week to see if I can get some, you know, looking for new tracks for new releases. But now I'm going to focus on my stuff. I'm working on the album, and that's my vision. My vision when I started it was to be able to help other artists. I know that, especially females, I know they're out there, and I know they all can't get to the conferences. I know, you know, they just need somebody to hand that one song to. So I was hoping I would be a liaison for that. And actually, I enjoy giving tips to some of the producers that I do work with, and just little tips on, you know, like radio edits and, you know, chorus structures and things like that. So that's what I'm hoping to pass on, you know, what I've learned.
Yeah, tell me about that. So if you're working with young artists, obviously you've had this amazing career. What are you hoping that they can learn from you and take from your example?
I'm hoping they can learn not only from my success, but from my mistakes. Mm.
Give me one of those.
Oh, how many mistakes? I mean, there's songwriting mistakes, there's business decisions, there's contractual things.
Sure.
The first contract, it was almost for forever that I saw.
Yep. I mean, that was back then, that's how those contracts.
Yeah, forever, ever. there's always a way out. Making sure you get PPL monies, like all those different little monies you can get. And just like what we talked about, being sociable, being engaging, being a team player. I talked to Spin about that. There's a lot of producers out there who don't want to be team players. They just want this, put this out like this. That's it. No change. But you got to have, you know, communication and play with the team and, you know, make it all work for everybody. So stuff like that.
What do you look for people on your team? Obviously, there has to be you got to like the music, right? Have to be able to connect on that level. But beyond that, what makes somebody the right kind of collaborator for you?
Well, you got to like the music. But I listen for song structure, and I can tell when I get a demo, like if I'm going to write to it. I can tell if they know what they're doing. You can tell when there's even, uneven and uneven bars, or the first chorus is 8 and the second chorus is 9. Stuff.
Sure.
I look for motion and emotion. And if the producer doesn't know how to carry, you know, the A part into B part, a lot of people try to just send me just a track with a beat. And it's like, I can't make something out of nothing. So, you know, you have to have, track it come with the personality. So that's what I look for in songs. And of course, something new and fresh.
That seems to be harder and harder.
Yeah. I mean, even people who are famous will send me stuff and be like, well, you know, that's from that. Yeah. We'll get it clear. Don't worry. I'm like, all right.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? And you know, I have a 13-year-old who's on Splice making beats, and you know, there's so much I wouldn't say good music, there's so much good enough music out there, but getting to something special, or getting, like you said, that
can we
emotion.
Talk about Splice vocals? Can we stop using Splice vocals? If you don't know how to create a song, you just cannot take a vocal off a Splice and throw it on a track. I get so much of that.
I mean, and that's the thing is, right, if you make it easy for people are going to take the easy way. Like the stuff that, you know, you went through, or people of your generation making music, you know, with the limited technology that was available at the time. Or think about, you know, 20 years before that, right? Trying to get into a studio and multi-track was like a challenge, right? Yeah, I mean, I made my first demo on a 2-inch tape, and it was expensive, and it wasn't easy compared to what's available today. So people are always going to take the easy way.
Oh, I think even back then it was more creative. At least it was creative. Now it seems like some of the creativity is missing. Like they'll just take that vocal and not develop a song. They'll just throw it on the hook or just sample a piece of it and that's it.
Yeah.
So I think back in the day you did it because it was a struggle because you couldn't afford to have musicians to come in and all that
exactly.
stuff. Now it's almost too easy. Some of that struggle probably could return a little bit.
Yes, I think that the challenge gets flipped, right? So now it's too easy, which means if it's too easy for you, it's too easy for everybody.
Yeah.
Right. So now what's gonna make this song stand apart, you know, from the thousands?
How many hits have come from using Splice? That's what I would like to know.
It's a good question. Hopefully the Splice people are putting that in their marketing. They should be.
They would be if it was.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then,
that's funny.
Then they would get sued. Even with Splice, there's permissions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I had an artist hand me the song was good, but I was like, did you get permission from the vocalist? They were like, no, it's on Splice. And you have to do that. I was like, no, she wrote it.
Yeah. You better read the terms on that one.
Fine print on that. So for sure. Stay away from that now because that was a lot.
Yeah. So obviously you have a lot going on. What are you most excited about? I know you got conference coming up. What's what's the year ahead looking like that has you excited?
The conference. I'm happy to be in some sun next week. I'll tell you that.
I bet.
And this is the first one I think everybody's going to after COVID. I mean, everybody didn't go to ADE last year, but I feel like everybody's going to Miami. So I'm excited to see everybody and see what the energy is. There's no conference because WBC is not happening. So it's a lot of hotels.
Yeah, it's just hanging out, hanging on the beach, which is half of it anyway.
Yeah. I'm excited about the album. I just wrote 4 really slamming tracks.
Nice.
I've also been cooped up for the last 2 weeks, you know, writing. So I'm ready to get back on the road. I start actually April 1st. I start in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
So summer is coming together really nice. So I love touring. I love being on stage. I love seeing happy people. So
yeah,
I'm excited to do that.
For sure. That's amazing. Well, before I let you get back to your day, I have a quick lightning round. If you don't mind. That's all right. We'll edit out any slow moments, so no pressure on you. Okay. What's your favorite city to travel to?
South Beach, Miami.
Yeah, I love it there. I met my wife there. We're big South Beach fans. Who is your favorite DJ?
Oh, I'm going to say, can I have more than one? I'll say Todd Terry. I like Roger Sanchez. I like Junior Sanchez too. I like Roger. Roger still he plays those CDRs. He really gets
absolutely amazing. I know you said you're a reader. What's the last great book you've read?
I'm reading for the second time right now, A Course in Miracles.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's a good one. It's good to go back to books.
Yeah.
I have to force myself to do that sometimes, but I'm always glad I did. If I liked it the first time, I get more out of it the second time.
Yeah. I'm amazed at how slow I read now. I'm like,
is that right?
What happened? But yeah, I like reading. Okay.
Nice. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
My favorite, it's a tie between The Fifth Element and Independence Day. My children, like when they want to make me happy, they'll just put that on the TV.
Is that right?
And I'll start cooking or something. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Who's someone that you've learned a lot from, but you've never met?
Oprah Winfrey. Mm. Yeah. I was listening to her this morning. So, yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. And then my last question, if I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
I was going to say, first thing came to mind was be nice.
Okay.
Because in this business, there's a lot of, you know, back and forth. And
for sure.
But yeah, I tell my engage, mm-hmm. you know.
That's good.
And let's keep it moving.
Yeah. That's good. And be nice is a good one, right? Because I think, you know, especially in your business, you have to be able to give critical feedback, right? You got, you know, if something's not working, you got to be able to say it. But you also need to be able to say it without shutting another person down. And, you know, you need them to bring their creativity and their ideas to the table. And, you know, I talk about that a lot in my business, right? Like, you got to tell me if I'm headed toward a brick wall, you got to tell me. But be nice, but do it nice, right? We can do both.
Yes. Is it too easy to bite someone's head off or too easy just to shut down? You know,
sure.
You got to engage to keep it going. You learn so much even by just spitting out mistakes. Have what someone's thinking, you know, what's going on in their heads. So sometimes it's just not all about you, what's going inside of you.
And that was Crystal Waters on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Go check out the I Am House podcast. Let me know what you think of that. Some great new house music she's playing for us all the time. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.